Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road, hopefully with a different result than we had on Tuesday night when we gather on Thursday at Costas. We'll be at Costas Inn in Dundalk. Come on by. I have a hearty list of guests and victims, beginning with Jessica Vallis from Harford Designs, who recreated our website. We're going to get the fonts organized, I promise, sometime before Thursday. Pete Carinci, former UMBC, legendary soccer coach, has threatened to stop by. Chris Emery from 100.7, and Chris, I gots the rock and roll Emery of 98 Rock, told me he lives in Edgemere now. I'm like, what? Got to come to Costas on Thursday, so we'll have him out. And Luke Jones will be with us on Thursday, as will Roz and her husband Greg. For all of you young old-timers, and Luke, your father who listened to the program would probably remember Greg from Northeast. Rather large Yankees fan. It's taken a Yankees series to get him out. Roz from the Maryland Lottery is his wife, so I'm hoping to get some crab cakes with those folks. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, the Gold Rush 7 Doublers. We'll have these on Thursday from 1 until 4. The Orioles will take on the Yankees from Yankee Stadium at 4 o'clock. We'll be over Costas. The crabs will be hot. The crab cakes will be delicious. The beer will be cold. Apparently, it's going to be pretty steamy outside. Orioles bats were not steamy on Tuesday night. Lucas, so what do you make of the early goings of this? Because this, you know, this is one of those series you can't get swept, right? And it's going to happen fast. Thursday afternoon at the bar, Costas for you and me is going to be like a snap. And we make not a lot of these before we go into them because it's like it's a June series. And we talked about, is it a big series? Only big series if you sweep or get swept, I think. I think if it's 2-1, 1-2, we just move on. And it's you know, they were fun games.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, is it a massive season-altering kind of series if you get swept or you sweep the Yankees? I mean, it's still, you know, it's a close deficit. I mean, we saw this last year. The Rays were up by a bunch on the Orioles in the first half of the season, and before you know it, the Orioles were in first place in July. So it's still early, although it's not, you know, that's a relative term at this point in time, but you want to put your best foot forward. There's no question about that. And the problem is, easier said than done when Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez aren't starting in this series. And there's no Kyle Bradish, of course, and no John Means, no Tyler Wells. So I think this series, beyond the obvious ramifications for the division and three head-to-head matchups in an era where you're not playing division foes 19 times anymore, is I think you're trying to find out about your starting pitching a little bit here. I mean, Albert Suarez struggled on Tuesday night. We've seen him be such a great story, and that's not to – yeah, that it defines him one way or the other based on how he pitched on Tuesday night, but you know, lacked command, 5 walks. I thought it was laughable, but that people thought, you know, Yankees fans thought he hit Aaron Judge on purpose, gets ahead 0-2, throws a non-competitive 0-2 pitch, and then hits him. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Well, and then he also scored, you know, too. He also scored a run, so.
Right, but it's just a reflection of Albert Suarez didn't have as good command, and we've seen him have pretty good command overall, so it was an off night for him. But whether we're talking about Suarez, whether we're talking about Cade Povich, who's going up against a season-debuting Garrett Cole in the Wednesday night game.
Welcome to the show, kid.
you're finding out about these guys, right? And that doesn't mean, again, that if they don't fare well, they're banished from the rotation at the moment, but you're trying to see how they fare. I mean, you know, Cade Povich, pending on the results for him, we view him differently one way or the other, right? I mean, after his first start in Toronto, it didn't go so well, even though there were some good things to see. You wanted to see more, and you did see more against Atlanta.
By the way, so I remember the first time you saw Bradish and the lights went on for you, right? I mean, he had a start, and it was like, oh, maybe. Maybe the Angels were, you don't really know until you know, and you watch these guys throw it in Norfolk or whatever. That doesn't mean – I mean, they need 5 to 10 starts in the big leagues to see what they are.
At least. I mean, think about it. Grayson Rodriguez had, I think it was 10 starts last year before he got sent down. And then we didn't see him until after the All-Star break, and he was one of the best pitchers in the American League when he got back to the big leagues. So you never really know. And again, you don't want to make too much of it good or bad. But, you know, on Tuesday night, they didn't swing the bats. I mean, Albert Suarez, for as mediocre as he was, He didn't get bombed. I
He
mean, he
gave him
didn't
a
give up
chance to
eight
win. They
runs.
had a chance to win.
Yeah. I mean, they had a chance to win. I mean, Santander hits a two-run homer in the ninth inning, and you're a base runner away from tying the game at that point in time. So you can't wait to the ninth inning to score your first runs, though, and expect to win at Yankee Stadium. So, but again, that's where this series is interesting for me in terms of not anything to validate the Orioles. You know, I think the litmus test that we were talking about going into the Philadelphia series, where you know, you had these two super heavyweights. The Orioles proved they belong, right? They belong with the Phillies. They belong with the Yankees. The Yankees and the Phillies certainly think they belong after having played them all. You know, the Yankees came to Baltimore 6 weeks ago and lost three out of four. But this series right now, for me, it's looking at this starting pitching where you're looking at the back half of the rotation. You know, Cole Irvin in the finale, that's a little bit different because he's an established major league pitcher. But you know, for Suarez and for Povich, it's okay. What does this look like? You know, and it's not even so much about the Yankee starter. It's about going up against that Yankee lineup, which we'll see about Judge's status for the rest of this series. They just put Anthony Rizzo on the IL, so they're at less than 100%. But you know, we know the Orioles pitching staff is at less than 100%. So you know, I think your point is well taken in terms of the outcome of this series. Yeah, you don't want to get swept. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you're four and a half out looking at that kind of a deficit, which isn't insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination,
But it
but
would be a bad week in New York. It'd be a bad. It's
sure,
gonna, it'd be a bad
sure.
couple days in New York if this doesn't go well for Povich this evening, and we're going to be over Costas for the capper on Thursday as well. And I mean, they're a major underdog on Wednesday night, right? I mean, like just in a general sense of Gerrit Cole, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, the couple things they have going for them, you're right. Of course, they're the underdog. Anytime you have a rookie pitcher making his third career start at Yankee Stadium, you probably don't even need to look at the opposing starter and you'll say, that team's the underdog.
It's
But
170, by the way, just so you know. It's
fair
170.
enough. Fair enough. So, you know, but with Cade Povich, there is a
The only other
less.
170 tonight is Suarez on the hill for the Phillies.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Against
But,
the
you know,
Padres at home.
but for Cade Povich, it's a little bit different now than it was for rookies coming to the major leagues 10 years ago because there's StatCast data for AAA. You know, there are fewer and fewer secrets when it comes to pitching and scouting reports, even for rookies. But in the case of Povich, this will be the first time the Yankees see him. So some of that deception, some of that pitchability that we've talked about with him that, okay, he doesn't throw 98, but he mixes his pitches well. Good curveball. I mean, he's got to land the curveball. I think we saw that. Did not do that in Toronto. We saw how it went. Did it extremely well against the Braves, and we saw how that went. So I think that's key for him, but you're finding out about him. But I'll say on the flip side with Gerrit Cole, there's unknown here, right? I mean, he's first and foremost, he didn't have a particularly long minor league rehab assignment, so you wouldn't expect that he's going to throw 105 pitches. So you have that. And there's just the unknown of, you know, he had this elbow issue, although all indications were it wasn't related to his UCL. It was another issue. I think it might have even been a nerve issue from what I was reading a little bit earlier this week. But they say he's healthy. You know, it seems like it's gone well with his rehab. But until you get back to that major league environment where you're truly taking, you know, all the precautions are out the window and you just say, hey, it's time to throw. You know, it's time to be Gerrit Cole again, be the
The
Cy
Orioles
Young
have
Award
all their
winner again.
hitters. At least, Povich won't have Judge tonight. I mean, that was a nasty pitch. I mean, you could tell when he went to first base, he wasn't going to be playing. You know, like that was pretty obvious to me he was hurt.
Yeah. Although I'll point out Jordan Westberg left the game, and Brandon Hyde said after the game he was really sore. Weird play with Soto. I mean,
That was
people want to
Bush
talk
League,
about.
dude. What was
Yeah.
that? It was Bush League. My wife jumped up and my wife
Yeah.
created that tweet that I threw out that he was Bush League. She said, that was Bush League. You don't run into the third. What are you doing?
I mean, at best, it's what are you doing, man? Like, are you not even paying attention to what you're doing at best?
Out, by the way. You created an out. That's how dumb
Right.
it was, right?
Well, it's that, and you potentially injured someone, and you know, we'll see about Westberg. I would assume he's out of the lineup at least for a day or two. I do know they Connor Norby at Norfolk was pinch hit for, so I'm guessing he's on the taxi squad at the very least in case Westberg wakes up and is not feeling well with that. So, yeah, of all the talk about pitching inside, which you know both teams did some of that, and look, pitching inside is part of the game. Not saying hitting people is part of the game. The Soto play was, by far, the most suspicious, what the heck are you doing kind of play. But you're right. I mean, you assume no Aaron Judge. You hope no Aaron Judge for the Orioles' sake, I guess, for these two games. Not that you want him to be injured, and the initial X-rays and everything sounds like he's going to be okay, which is good. I mean, you don't never want to see someone hurt, but if he's out of the lineup, then that's a good thing for the Orioles.
That's a soft part of your body where you need to grip the hold the bat. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
I mean, even if it's a contusion, even if it's just a bruise, I mean, that could be a few days. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. I'll say this much. And again, as we're kind of talking about this leading into Thursday afternoon's finale and you and I being at Costas, it will be interesting to see if there is any retaliation or any of that. I mean, as much as I don't think whatsoever that Suarez was throwing at Aaron Judge. Again, he gets ahead 0-2 on Aaron Judge. And then you say, oh, I'll hit him then. No, that makes zero sense. You get ahead on 0-2 on Aaron Judge, you're at least going to throw three or four pitches in the dirt, hoping he chases one. I mean, we'll see though, because you could tell the Yankees dugout wasn't pleased, especially, I guess, when Gleyber Torres got hit later on by
Well,
Akins.
Soto started this ish with the stare down
Yeah,
5 weeks
it's
ago,
just.
and I let in on him when I had those seats with Curio. By the way, I'm wearing my Curio shirt here, same shirt I wore 4 rows behind the on deck circle when I was hazing Aaron Judge. But I mean, the Soto, and look, this is what creates this sort of friction,
Sure.
right? I mean, Soto starts this last month. Orioles beat their ass pretty good down here. Orioles are giving them chase. They're on top. They're the veterans. They have all the billionaires. Everybody here is poor, except for, I don't know, none of these guys are really paid. I guess Burns is making some money this year. But, it's haves and have-nots. It's you think you're the Yankees, and we think we won 101 games last year, and you're not going to send your prima donna to run over my rookie third baseman. Like, stop. So I would agree with you that if Rick Sutcliffe were involved here, or Don Drysdale, or Bob Gibson, or but I don't know how Brandon Hyde manages in that. I know how Buck would manage. They would be getting something up their ass tonight. Yeah, seriously. It would be Soto who would be ducking out of the box tonight, and he would go tell the young kid, throw at him, because that's the way the old world worked. I don't know how it works anymore. I don't know unwritten rules and who's playing kayfabe and who's going to look the other way. We followed baseball a long time. Retaliation would be mandatory in the old unwritten rules of baseball, as I say it out loud.
Yeah, but at the same time, a couple of Yankees players got hit. I mean, and again, I don't think
That's all the more
Judge
reason that
being hit was
Rutschman and
intentional,
Henderson
but
should be ducking. That's all I'm saying. It's coming
yeah,
this way, is
well, I
what I'm
mean,
saying.
and but one came in on Gunner later in the game. Look, could it happen? Sure. I'm not going to sit here and say that, just because I don't think there was intent, that doesn't mean, guys get hit.
Dude, the
And
era of
whether it's
meatball, democracy in baseball, the eggheads that have been running baseball for 100 years with these unwritten rules. I'm just talking out loud because Palmer thinks this way. Ben McDonald thinks this way. In the broadcast, they think this way. They talk out loud and, well, that's a purpose. They have all that language that your father and my father would recognize as well. I can't see any reason why this wouldn't escalate. I mean, I'm being honest with you. If it was Buck Showalter and Billy Martin, or if it was certain managers, I would know it. I don't know these managers well enough and the modern era well enough. I just know, like, it has all the elements to me to get chippy.
I mean, it could. I guess my point is, I'm saying I don't know if it will, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, the optics of what happened with Soto early on in the game with Westberg, and how, like I said, at best it's a case of, are you even paying attention to what you're doing? Let alone if there's any intent of any foul play there. But the fact that a couple Yankees got hit after that, some would say, okay, that's it then, it's over, or it escalates, right? We'll see. We'll see. I mean,
It is a it's a backdrop to this when Westberg and Judge aren't going to play the next couple of days, probably, right?
sure. I mean, both teams want to be at full strength. You want both teams at full strength. I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but if you're going to ask me to say what the chances of this escalating, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a 90% chance that it will, but If it does, I'm not going to be surprised. Let me
Not a
put it that way.
90% chance it won't.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know about that. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it again, things have changed a little bit in that regard. It's certainly not the same culture that it was 10 years ago, let alone talk about 40 or 50 years ago. But it still exists, and we'll see how this plays out. I mean, again, hopefully the fact that Aaron Judge is going to be okay, even if he's going to miss a couple games, with a bruise on his hand,
Well, the
or
culture started when Soto was staring down the Orioles a couple weeks ago, because I remember it, you remember it, we all remember it.
I mean, there's machismo. I mean, there's tough guys, and look, they're highly competitive. I mean, these are highly competitive baseball teams duking it out for the AL East. So, we'll see. I think for the Orioles, though, the concern, the focus needs to be how do you score some runs before the ninth inning? Because if you're going up against Gerrit Cole, yes, easier said than done. You also want to try to support your rookie pitcher making his third start, his first legitimate start in a hostile environment. I know he started up in Toronto a couple weeks ago. That was a day game. It wasn't really a, an edgy atmosphere like you would expect it to be Wednesday night. So, as I said, to kind of bring it back to the Orioles rotation, I mean, this is you're finding out something about Cade Povich in this start. Not defining, I'm not saying he gets sent down if he gets roughed up or he's going to the Hall of Fame if he blanks the Yankees over seven innings, but you want to see him acquit himself well because we've talked about it. Now with no John Means, no Tyler Wells, Kyle Bradish presumably done. I mean, we don't know. We'll hear, get an official word at some point, I would assume, but you're looking to see if Cade Povich can be and is for you, at least in the number four, number five starter spot the rest of the way. And that does goes a long way in determining how Mike Elias is going to proceed at the trade deadline. I mean, this is important. We talked about this last year with Grayson Rodriguez in July and how he was able to show that he could be an answer to the point where, okay, maybe they still should have done better than Jack Flaherty at the deadline like they did, but they at least knew that Grayson Rodriguez had
Man, we
settled
haven't
in.
mentioned Jack Flaherty's name, right? I mean, his name has not come up on this airways this calendar year. That's crazy, right? I think the last time we talked about Jack Flaherty was October. I
Yeah,
swear.
well, when he wasn't in the rotation in the
Well,
postseason,
and
and when
all
he
we talk about the next 5 weeks here is going to be who they're going to get, right? That's going
sure.
to be, I
Well,
hope it's a more memorable name than Jack Flaherty, because if you had asked me, I might have had a hard time coming up with that 30 seconds ago. So would the audience, I bet.
that right there though goes back to the point I made a couple days ago when we were talking about this, where yes. Do I expect the Orioles to be active on the trade market? No question about it. Do I expect them to make an addition or two? Absolutely. Is it going to be such an impactful division acquisition that is going to be the defining move that they make? I think it's still going to be more about the guys that are already on this club. Whether it's not saying Cade Povich becomes your game two starter in a postseason series, but
To your point, Kyle Gibson won't be the difference in winning the World Series or not. He might be a nice piece if they get that far. But to your point, you better win games in August and September with what you got. You better not be thinking
yeah.
about what you don't have, right? Because what you have is
Right.
pretty good. You're winning games at a 650 clip. You're a good team.
Right. And one thing that we need to remind everyone, and we've touched on this, but in the grand scheme of things, as far as where the Orioles are right now, which is one of the three best teams in baseball, regardless of how the rest of this series plays out, they're still in that category, right? That record-wise, I mean, it speaks for itself. Think about this. Kyle Bradish made what? Eight starts, nine starts? John Means made four starts. Tyler Wells made three starts. We're not talking about guys that had been mainstays in the rotation this year, right? So that tells you, yes, it stinks to lose them. And yes, especially with Bradish, that's some really substantial upside that's lost with him going down with the elbow again. But John Means was in the major league rotation for about 5 minutes as it pertains to what the full season is like. Same with Tyler Wells. So point is, you've had some guys who've done really well for you. That doesn't mean that they're going to continue. That's why, again, this week, this Yankee series is a nice eyeball test to see what it looks like for these less proven guys. I would say younger. Albert Suarez isn't younger. He's just not as proven, right? So you're trying to see how it looks. And it doesn't mean that just because if it goes well, oh, we don't need to trade for anyone. It doesn't mean if it doesn't go well that you say, well, these guys aren't going to cut the mustard. You know, I mean, they're just not up to snuff. You know, you're trying to figure this out,
The last thing
but
you do is you want to make a deal for somebody that can't help you, like Flaherty, or
well,
won't
and that's
help
the
you.
big thing, and that's why the position that they're in right now. Yes, if you told me there's a great deal out there to be made tomorrow, and someone you can add to your rotation or your bullpen tomorrow, and it's a great deal, and it's someone who's going to help, and you're not going to have to give up your best prospects to do it, then of course, yeah. But at the same time, we know that with the three wild cards in each league. And I mean, look at the National League standings right now. There's about two teams in the entire league that are really bona fide non-contenders at this point in
Yeah, the
time.
Cubs are in last place, but they still see a path.
Yeah. I mean, you look at these teams that are five, six games under 500, and they're only a game or two out of a wild card spot. I mean, that just speaks to the mediocrity in the National League once you get past the top three or
Well,
four
some of
teams.
these are franchises like the Padres and the Cubs that aren't going to be quick to throw a towel in,
And
you
that's the
know?
other thing, right? Exactly. It's easier said than done to say whether a team should be a seller. There are lots of teams every year. The Angels were a perfect example of this last year. They should have been a seller. What did they end up doing? They decided to buy, thinking, oh, let's do this. We still have Ohtani. We'll try to impress him. We'll try to see if he'll re-sign with us. So they traded away prospects. They went in the tank anyway, and then they lost Ohtani. So just because you could sit here and say whether a team should be a buyer or should be a seller, 2 years ago with the Orioles, we were talking about the Orioles potentially buying, and what did they do? They traded Trey Mancini and Jorge Lopez, and they got a lot of criticism for it at the time. But look how those deals worked out for them, especially the Jorge Lopez deal, when you're already talking about Yennier Cano for over a year now being a mainstay in the back
Better
end of
than
their
Lopez
bullpen.
would have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, and Cade Povich, who is at the very least a maybe right now, and is pretty highly regarded. You know, it kind of snuck into the bottom of the top 100 prospect list in baseball, depending on which
Can't
publication
get a ball
you're
at
looking.
Yankee Stadium, though. He's not a maybe. He's an is. He arrived. He's, you know, he
Well,
made
I
it.
mean, he's a maybe in the sense of, is he going to be a long-term starting pitcher for you? But the fact that we're talking about it again speaks
Giving
to.
him 6 innings at Yankee Stadium tonight with the season on the line, sure.
Well, season's not on the line,
But
but
I mean, you know, this is a big game. This is.
it's important that the season's not on the line, though. I mean, let's not use hyperbole here. Let's at least recognize what it is. It's important, but the season's not on the line. You know, they get swept, the division's not over. I mean, it's not. But it's, you know, with Cade Povich, there's a guy that they acquired 2 years ago who was not going to help them in their pipe dream of being a wild card 2 years ago, but 2 years later and maybe beyond could end up being a really important piece for them. So you're always looking at the trade deadline through that lens of where are we now? Where are we going as a franchise in the future? And that's where I've continued to stress. Mike Elias is not going to, you know, he's not going to pick his farm system clean just in the name of improving his chances for 2024. There's still going to be a long-term balance at work there. But do I expect them to make a move or two at the very least? Yeah, I absolutely do. I thought that before Kyle Bradish went down with an injury. I feel stronger in my conviction to add another starting pitcher now than I did 2 weeks ago. It kind of feels almost impossible that they won't add someone of note. You know, and again, maybe it's on the lower end of a Kyle Gibson, or maybe they aim higher. You know, maybe there's a starting pitcher, and you know, some discussion has been out there about, you know, the White Sox with a couple of their good arms that might. You know, might be available in the right trade. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. But in the meantime, you know, how does Cade Povich look? How does Cole Irvin look in the finale? You know, and another tough pitching matchup. So, the Orioles, I mean, they've gone through a lot. And the one thing I will say, they need to stay healthy from this point on. I mean, and that's why when you see Jordan Westberg leave the game early on Tuesday night, you're just saying, oh my gosh, I mean, when is this going to stop? They've got to stay healthy. At some point in time, you can only talk about making trades so much if guys are going to continue to go down, especially on the pitching side. I mean, they're not going to trade for three or four or five pitchers. And
Oh,
even.
they've been decimated. I mean, when you consider what, when we were driving around Sarasota, what the hopes and the thoughts were, even with Bradish dangling and Means trying to make it back, and you were worried about Wells's innings last All-Star game, that those guys, that we'd be sitting here in June and the team would be as good as advertised, and
Yeah.
they're gone, and they're just gone. Like, if you would ask me on March 30th if I thought Means had a better chance of like making it back than
Yeah.
Bradish did surviving it. I thought Wells was a bullpen guy no matter what, like you did, because they would be looking to improve upon him with some Suarez, Gibson, whoever, Povich, call guys up, real starters. But you know that's devastating. And meanwhile, the Yankees have sweated out Cole, worried him, and tonight they get him back to the hill. Now, that's not to say he'll still be there a month from now or 3 months from now or in October, but it's, I don't want this to be a ships passing in the night thing here this week, where we look back on this and the Orioles fall eight back and just play the rest of the season sort of that way because they can't catch them, and they can't win enough, and the Yankees don't stop losing. It's been a little bit of that the last month. It's been a little bit of like, you know, we're losing guys and they keep winning. And I know we've had a couple of middle of the week conversations around here when that's happened. Now we face them at a time when we're losing pitchers and they're getting pitchers. They're starting a, you know, a legend, and we're starting like a kid we have to start because Bradish's arm fell off and Means is not here anymore. Because these would be their starts, right? I mean, these would be the starts these guys have. Instead, we're starting our number eight starter in Norfolk, because we really are, because that's where they are. Doesn't look, we do it every day here, and it doesn't feel desperate on the inside. But if I'm at Major League Baseball Network and I was projecting rotations and talking about this series right here, right now, let alone the chippiness we talked the first 15 minutes about, this, there is some machismo, and there is some, we got a Yankees logo on our chest, and you got a cartoon bird, and you haven't won anything in 40 years. And there's a little bit of that that goes with it on the outside of the perception of it. But the perception on the inside is we're losing a lot of pitchers around here, dude. And we just lost Westberg. I don't think that that's catastrophic, but getting the best players on the field, even when they are, sometimes they don't hit the ball. But to your point, the best thing to love about the Orioles is Rodriguez and Burns coming out and pitching, because they need, without that, they're really in trouble. We're starting to dangle a little bit, because
Well,
I don't know that I believe in the cavalry as much over the long term, because we're not talking about the same names anymore. Three of the key names that were maybes are never will be's, and I think that has created some urgency for Elias to pull a rabbit out of a hat for some trades and to deplete the organization, because that's going to happen. If they make trades for two relievers and a starter, you know, some of these curse stats and some of these names that we've thrown out as artillery guys are going to be the ones that are gone. It's not going to be Hayes or Mullins. We're going to have to live with those guys this year.
yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to disagree. I don't think they're dangling. I mean, this team's continued to win. You know, even through all this, they've continued to win.
They're being
You know,
challenged, I'll say. They're being challenged. That's what I'll say.
But you know what? I was even thinking about this the other day as I was kind of just not even filling out their roster, but just kind of pondering what their depth chart would be at this point in time. You kind of think about what their rotation was last year. I mean, John Means wasn't in the picture until the very end of the season for four starts. You know, Kyle Bradish has kind of been replaced by Corbin Burns, right? When you kind of do it in just kind of a real simplistic way. I mean, Bradish was the ace last year. Burns is the ace now. Grayson Rodriguez, save for that 2.5 week IL stint he had back in May, you know, he's the number two, and he was the number two by, you know, the second half of last year. You know, Dean Kramer, we haven't mentioned him, and he's obviously very important. He's coming back from the triceps issue and pitched in Norfolk on Sunday. Brandon Hyde's been non-committal in terms of whether he'll make another start or maybe he'll rejoin
See,
the
for me, he's
rotation.
never been great. So I can't project him as being great. I can't project him to come back and make
I didn't know
15
if you were.
starts in the second half of the year and thinking that he's going to be, that we're going to feel real good about pitching him in the playoff. I mean, like, I
Well,
hope so, but I for me, he's a guy. I mean, on a good team and taking the ball every fifth day, but I don't get wow. I'm not wowed by the promise of him in the Yusnel Diaz kind of way to think that he's going to be a top of the rotation guy. And I'm not down on Kramer.
they
I
have,
just I think he's
he's
ordinary.
not.
Yeah.
They have two top of the rotation guys. I mean,
Right.
I wasn't talking in those terms. I'm talking in terms of they need pitchers.
Taking the ball.
You know, so we're talking about different things here. I wasn't saying that Dean Kramer is destined to be the number three starter in a postseason series, but Dean Kramer's innings are really important, and he's taken the ball for them the last 2 years. I mean, that's been important. So, you know, through that lens,
I think it's important that he's better than ever when he comes back. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I just want him to post up. You know, I don't think Dean Kramer is going to be, you know, okay. Would you say from an experience standpoint, he would be their number three starter right now? Okay. I mean, I suppose he started in Texas in game three, didn't go well, but he's important regardless, just because he's someone capable of giving competitive starts every 5 days or every 6 days and giving you a chance to win. And
are you
and that's
expecting the pitcher that they acquire to be him or better than him?
I mean, I think they're hoping for someone better than him, but again, what's out there? What are you going to be willing to give up? I mean, it's just, that's the truth here. I mean, Mike Elias, I'll continue to
and
say
how
it.
Bad do you need it? That's where I am. How bad do you need it? You need it bad now with Bradish and Means and Well. I mean, I and especially, we don't even, Kramer's not even healthy, really healthy yet enough to come back and say he's healthy and making these starts. I'm a little concerned. That's all. And I'm concerned in the middle of a Yankee series where they have Houston this weekend. Houston's depleted or whatever, but it's summer and winning at a 650, 660 clip's hard to do. And it's a lot harder to do when you take your number one from last year out and say he's gone. Cause they got some work to do. They really do. And I think the Yankees will show that this week, that there's a measuring stick, and that's good. They need that. They're not going to run away from the pack this year. They're not going to run away and hide. They're going to be chasing.
I don't think the Yankees are going to do that either. I mean, you keep saying the Orioles are dangling and everything. They've done this. Bradish only made, what, 8 starts? Tyler Wells made 3 starts all year. John Means made 4 starts all year. I mean, these guys haven't been, you know, it's not as though these were their top 3 starters that they just lost. So,
well, to your point, Suarez makes a start on Tuesday night. It was okay. They didn't hit the ball at all.
No, he wasn't very good, but they didn't hit, right.
But sure. You say he wasn't very good. 3 runs, 5th inning, somebody's got to step up and draw a walking at home run and make the game like they did in the 9th inning. But for me, that was a winnable game. So I'm not down. I mean, dangling to me, the dangling part is they don't know what their rotation is. They're number 3 starters on another team right now. And as I'm looking at it, so that means that it's going to cost us him, and somebody else down on the farm, and we're looking at these guys. I think they have work to do. And I don't know that I felt that way last year. Last year, I felt like things were on autopilot. I think it's a little choppier this year. I just do. I think it's going to be harder if they're not scoring 7 and 8 runs a night. On nights when they're hitting 3-run home runs, hey, man, they can beat anybody because they can score 8 runs any night. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I don't – that takes time off around here. Especially when they see good pitching, I think. Sunday notwithstanding,
I think you're understating the concerns about the pitching last year, because that's why the argument I was kind of making is they're not in a dramatically different position now than they were last year, because I'm just saying Burns has essentially replaced Kyle Bradish as the ace. You still have Grayson Rodriguez. Dean Kramer's going to be back presumably in the next, you know, whether it's the next 3 days or the next week and a half.
We would agree their pitching wasn't good enough last October. Would we agree with that? Just in a general say they weren't good enough to win?
They didn't hit in the division series either.
Well,
I mean,
they don't hit. I mean, they don't need better hitters.
Well,
they
but
need their
but
hitters
my point
hit.
is, my point is, they won 101 games last year. They're on pace to do better than that this year. And, yeah, it's not as though they have this unbelievable starting staff. But at the same time, we can't just ignore the numbers either. Their starting rotation numbers have been good. I mean, Cole Irvin's been really good for them. And look, we can sit here and say, I don't believe that that's going to continue. All right, fair enough. But at the same time, is Luis Gil going to continue to do what he's done for the Yankees? I mean, we weren't talking about him 3 months ago at all, and he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. And
I hope he's related to Geronimo Gil, just for my own baseball.
But the point is, I mean, with that, look at someone who was an unknown to the rest of the league. I'm not saying that he was, you know, completely, you know, came out of nowhere, but, you know, rookie pitcher stepping up and doing what he's done. So, you know, the Orioles, they're doing something right, because all we do, and when I say we, I don't mean you and me, I mean fans and media, all we do is moan about how their pitching is lacking. Yet the numbers suggest they've been one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. So they're doing something right, you know,
It's
rotation
just
and
something when
bullpen.
Brian Baker comes out of the bullpen that, you know, makes us all
Sure.
a little queasy. Luke
I
Jones is here. He is
hear that.
Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the internet. Uncle Luke now welcoming new additions. I've only really known one Evelyn in the world. That was Evelyn Ehlers, who was at one time John Angelos's a secretary and then went off to the LA Dodgers. So I've known one Evelyn. So, and she's a wonderful person. So we welcome Evelyn to the world. So Luke will be papoosing all weekend and being Uncle Luke and doing all that stuff as the Orioles run off to Houston. He'll also be with us on Thursday. We'll have the Gold Rush 7 doublers to give away. Our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions are always with us, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And then next Tuesday, we're going to be at Pappas in Parkville, the original. And I saw Jeannie Nesbitt last week. Her and her husband had some kind words for me at Jamie Costello's goodbye party the other day. So anything else you got in this Yankee series? Is there, have I pissed you off capably here on a Wednesday here? I want you pissed off for greatness because they need to win a couple of games here at Yankee Stadium before we get
You
together
haven't
again.
ticked me off. I mean, it's just nothing's changed. They, yeah, I agree. They need some pitching reinforcements, but their pitching has been good. I, in fact, someone, my final point that I was just
Suarez
going to
wasn't
make.
horrible. I
Right.
was worried he was
They
going
scored
out of the
two
game in the
runs.
third inning. Well, you
Yeah.
know, he's 50 pitches in, and I'm like, oh, dude, this is 2 1/3. They're going to be losing 5-0. That didn't happen. It came close to happening. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I want to cite something really quick though that just goes back to what I was saying that keeps some of this in perspective. And my pal Jamie, who I know is a listener, directed me to this. It's the Orioles fans say Twitter account, but you know, it came from the stats came from FanGraphs. Orioles starting pitching, combined starting ERA of through 71 games. So this was before Tuesday night's game. Starting ERA 2.99, a WHIP of 1.13. It's pretty darn good. If you removed Kyle Bradish, John Means, and Tyler Wells, current starters, 2.91 ERA, 1.15
So you're
WHIP.
saying they were
My
the weak
point is,
links?
no, my point is, yeah, they need some reinforcements, but let's also not act like this is the 96 Orioles who couldn't pitch
Well,
or
Suarez has been
so,
good. I mean, some of these guys,
yeah.
for you look, I was partying with Dave Johnson the other night, and you know, he bragged about his fastball hitting 88 once or twice. And you know, guys like him in the big leagues, there's a long history of guys like him who can pitch well. Suarez being perfect example of a guy who banged around forever, Korea, this, that, and find a summer where they can take the ball 15 or 20 times and be pretty good. Not beat Koufax or Palmer, but be good enough to be Dean Kramer, to be good enough to be a third starter with a 4 ERA, take the ball, give you 5 innings, get you 3, 4, 5 runs wherever they are on the road, get it to your bullpen, and hope that Gunnar Henderson or Adley Rutschman or somebody hits a home run and they score some runs. And when you leave the game, it's 4-3, 4-4, 3-2, whatever it is. That's baseball. They're not all going to be Corbin Burns, right? I mean, the
Right.
idea is that 5 Corbin Burns and you win the World Series. We felt like we had maybe 3 of them 5 minutes ago. Now we feel like we might have 2 of them. And I'm worried about when October happens and they lose in a series and we say, well, you started Dean Kramer, and we talked about this back on June 19th, and we didn't think Dean Kramer was a winning pitcher in October for a top three to be one of those guys to get you through that. Not to mention the bullpen, because it's not even about Dean Kramer, it's not about Suarez. It's really going to be about bullpen innings, as we pointed out, and how quick we go to the bullpen when Suarez is in trouble at
Right.
Yankee Stadium. Because I really did think we were going to see 6 bullpen innings on Tuesday night, and that starts to eat you up into Thursday. And even though they lost, you know, it was a credible start, but it was still a losing start. And
Yeah.
I guess that's the
And
bad news for me. They can get credible starts from, they can get a great start on Wednesday night from this kid and still lose. And now they're hanging the sweep, and you and I are at Costas on Thursday, and we're waiting for Burns and Rodriguez to come back. And if that's what we're doing for the next month or two, waiting for those guys to start and hold, crossing your fingers and hoping Mountcastle knocks in 6 runs one night, that's they're going to hit the ball. I'm convinced of that. And every night they're not playing the Rangers, or excuse me, the Rangers. Every night they're I'm thinking Ranger Suarez. They're not playing the Phillies or the Yankees. You know, they're not going to see these kinds of teams. This is the ultimate test to see the best teams for a week.
Sure. And I mean, I guess the point I was going to make as it pertains to the starting rotation, look, this is still going to come down to, if we're talking about October, Burns and Grayson Rodriguez need to be great. Look at the Phillies 2 years ago. They had Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, and they had Ranger Suarez as their number three. And Ranger Suarez 2 years ago is not what Ranger Suarez is right now. If you have a 1-2 punch like that, and I think the upside of a 1-2 punch for Burns and Brad, and I said Burns and Bradish by accident, Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, is it as good as Burns Bradish Rodriguez as your upside? No, of course not, but it's still pretty darn formidable. I mean, it still is. So they're going to be fine navigating this thing. They're going to add a starting pitcher. I'm pretty confident of that. They're going to add some bullpen arms. They're going to be fine. This team has played so well. And as I said, some of these pitchers they lost, it's not as though they had pitched all season and as it is. So they've been relying on these different guys stepping up as it is, and they've done that. Will they continue to do that? Who knows? In the same way that are the Yankees going to stay healthy in their starting rotation or whatever team you want to go through? I mean, it's the nature of the beast, especially on the pitching side in 2024. But there's still really good upside at the top of that rotation. They've gotten good performances from lesser guys. Do you want those lesser guys starting postseason games? No, of course not. But at the same time, in a short series, you need three. They've got two. They were hoping they had their three until Bradish, with the elbow barking again. So we'll see how that works out. Am I going to sit here and say that I think Cade Povich is going to be so good that he's going to start game three in a postseason series and you're going to feel great about that? I have no idea. Probably not. But that doesn't mean he can't still be really good for you and help you get to that point and pitch out of the bullpen or whatever it is in October. But we've got a long way to go until October. And that's where, kind of take a deep breath. This team's won. They've continued to win. They've had things go wrong. And guess what? They've still won. And they've still just
Look,
kept
I
on
have a
rolling.
long
They've gone through
history of
this
mediocre pitching.
45.
I loved Gonzalez. I've loved Weighin Chen. I loved Dave Johnson and
Yeah.
Pete Arnish and Bob Malachi. But I like Messina and and Clemens at the top of my rotation in October because I feel like that's how you win.
Well, and they have Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, I think, has a heck of a chance to be a really formidable in that number two spot. And anyone would tell you, I was hearing, I forget who it was the other day, kind of talking about in a postseason setting, if you have two great starting pitchers, and Grayson Rodriguez needs to show he can be great, and I think what he did against the Phillies was a good example of that. But if you have two great starting pitchers in October, you've got a shot. I mean, you really do. Assuming the rest of your staff isn't completely incompetent. And if they are, you
Well,
probably didn't
especially if
get
they
to
go six or
October.
seven in game one, too. That kind of helps a little bit, too.
Yeah,
Get an
so
afternoon
right. And
game
that's a
and the shadows and the hitters can't see the ball. That's all that
And
stuff
you
happens in October.
but you just said it, I'll continue to say we keep questioning the pitching, we keep questioning the pitching, we keep questioning the pitching. In the aggregate, looking at the entire picture, their pitching has been really good. I mean, we can't just ignore the numbers. And I'm not saying you
Well,
are
that's why they're
necessarily,
playing
but
650
just
ball.
right, exactly. And that's why they've done that, despite the fact that John Means barely threw for them this year. Tyler Wells barely threw for them this year. Bradish did for what's going to be the equivalent of roughly a quarter of a season, and that's it. So, and they've still played 650 ball. So they're doing something right with the rest of their pitching. Do they need more? Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not trying to be dismissive of that. I'm just saying that it's not dire. And you weren't saying it was dire. I know you weren't. But we keep looking at this
Not
and the
Bradish.
numbers
He goes on the shelf with a 2.75 ERA. I'm looking at his
it just
numbers this year,
stinks.
like on the back of his bubblegum card. It's not like he had a 7 ERA and blew his arm
No.
out. I mean, like it's so deceptively weird because the innings were great innings. Their innings were exactly what you want.
He was looking in. You could make an argument he looked a little more dominant than he did last year. I mean, his K rate was up. We talked
I
about it
never
on
felt good
the.
about it. I was nervous from the first morning you and I talked
Yeah.
about it, so I never felt like he was in his, and I said that. And
Yeah.
well, look,
I
we
mean,
got
it.
baseball tonight and tomorrow, so wrap up, and we'll let Gerrit Cole go do his thing.
Yeah, play two games and see where you are. You hope it's not a sweep. I'm in agreement. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, no big deal. At the same time, if it doesn't go well, It's not season over. It's not, oh, well, we're just going to be the wild card. No, there's a lot of baseball to be played, and a lot can happen, good or bad. A lot can happen to the Yankees, good or bad. A lot can happen to Cleveland, good or bad, as it pertains to, trying to get the best record in baseball, which, we've spent 30 seconds talking about the Guardians maybe all season, and look at what they've done. Pretty impressive in the AL Central, but gotta see. It's a long, long, long season, and so much of this is just navigating it. And I think the Orioles absolutely need some pitching to help navigate the rest of the season. Some reinforcements there. I think Mike Elias will do that. Is it going to be someone that you feel so awesome about as your number two or number three starter in October? We'll see. You know what? We'll see. In the meantime, looking forward to seeing Cade Povich make more starts, and looking forward to seeing what the rest of these guys do. Because as much as we've sat here and we've been wringing our hands about the pitching, they've gotten the job done. It's amazing to look at the numbers compared to what the discourse is among fans and media as it pertains to Orioles pitching.
All right, we're going to be here all week. Luke and I will be over at Costas at on Thursday afternoon. I'll be there lunchtime all afternoon. Looking forward to getting some crab cakes. Looking forward to some oysters Rockefeller, maybe a little crab Imperial, maybe an ice cold beer on a hot day. Orioles taking on the Yankees. Meet us at Costas, 4 o'clock game. We'll be there at lunchtime. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop complaining and arguing about this quality baseball team. It's been a long time coming. See you at Yankee Stadium.